Thank you and good morning. Always a joy to be back and to see all of you and some new people as well. Hey, the church is blessed, isn't it? God bless all of you. So Joanne and I, first of all, just want to say thank you. You can go on to the first slide, actually. Want to say thank you for your prayers and support over the years. I remember when Ken Manley came up to northern Wisconsin with a vision to start a church in Turtle Lake. I met him at the Shelleyville Gospel Conference some years ago, and we started talking. And anytime I hear of a vision God has given somebody to do something new and pioneer something somewhere, I'm excited because I'm a pioneer missionary. So we started talking, and I came down, and Ken introduced me to Turtle Lake. We drove around the town, and we started praying over the city. I just joined him in my heart. And so my heart's with all of you and with this church right from the beginning. So it's a joy to have been connected with you from the beginning, actually, as one of your missionaries. Love being in a church where your heart is for the nations and for the peoples of the earth, as well as for your own local peoples in this area. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. Well, I want to give you, start out with a little bit of an update on our mission work so that you are caught up with us. I think it's been a couple of years since we were here last. And we do, by the way, have out in the entryway a little piece of paper. I write every month I write something. And the best part is I attach photos, okay? So if you'd like to get our regular updates, they're very exciting, really. You can sign up with your email address out there after the service. Okay, so we've been in Asia for 12 years. We started out in mainland China working with the underground church. The overall call that God gave us for Asia has been to invest in Asians so that they can reach Asia. All right? They know the culture, they speak the language, and they can also cross barriers, political barriers, and visa issues to get into countries that we couldn't get into. And God just put on our hearts to go out there and invest. So we've been doing that. Starting out in mainland China, working with the underground church, encouraging them as they had it on their hearts to actually leave China and go into the nations surrounding China with a call that they call the Back to Jerusalem Movement. And the underground church in China believe God has called them to bring the gospel from China back towards Jerusalem, as they believe the gospel has been going around the globe, starting from Jerusalem. Over the centuries, it kind of went west and has now come back, and now they believe they have a role to reach those Muslim countries between China and the Middle East. So we were there for 5 years investing in the Chinese missionaries. We went on to other parts of Asia. The last few years, we've been in Southeast Asia. This photo is from Malaysia. Have you heard of Malaysia? All right, thank you. You know, I work with young people all the time, and I'm teaching, and I'm always asking questions. And like, yeah. So it's good when I say, just say, yeah, you know, okay. We can be relaxed, right? Yeah. All right, okay. So this is some of our students out in Malaysia, and the majority of these students are indigenous peoples from Malaysia. Now, Malaysia is an interesting country because it's a peninsula that comes down from Thailand, and that very tip of it is an island called Singapore. Singapore used to be a part of Malaysia, but 2 years into the forming of that nation back in the 60s, I believe, the Singaporeans say that Malaysians kicked them out, and the Malaysians say Singapore left. But anyway, there was a division there. So, but Malaysia is this peninsula, and then the island of Borneo. Have you heard of Borneo? Yeah, interesting island. Part of Borneo is Malaysia. The other part of Borneo is Indonesia. So Malaysia has part of Borneo and this peninsula. And there's many tribal peoples in Malaysia, and we've been working with the tribal peoples. They've been there for millennia before the Malay Muslims came in and took over, became majority population. And so these tribal peoples have worshipped spirits, and they've resisted Islam. The Malay people are Muslims. And now they're coming to Christ. We have been discipling them, training them, and they are going out reaching their people. Don't you see those beautiful smiles of these young people? And they have a heart for God, and they go out. I want to just point out real quickly Maida. You see the girl on the left side with the polka dot and the reddish dress? you see that? Yeah. So Maida came to one of our schools. I was the first speaker in her school. She grew up in a village in the jungle. Never went to school because she had to stay home and work in the fields and help support her family and so forth. She comes to Christ. She hears about YWAM, just like Savannah's going off to do a training course. She hears about YWAM's missionary training courses. God puts in her heart to go. She goes to her parents and say, Mom and Dad, I believe I should go to this missionary training course. You know what they said to her? You're crazy. You've never even been to school a day of your life. What makes you think you can go to this missionary training course? She was very discouraged. She went to bed that night. In her sleep, God gave her a dream in which she received an encouragement, she believed, from God saying, I am with you, Maida, go. And so she went. So I was the first speaker in that school. While I was speaking at the class one morning, I see her and God speaks to me a word for her. And so I go up to Maida and I begin to speak and prophesy into her life, saying, God has called you out and brought you to this place. You do not believe in yourself, but God believes in you. And he wants to change your opinion of yourself and see that you would see yourself as I see you, says the Lord. That you are a young woman of God, called and gifted to do what I've called you to do. Or a message. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting it word for word, okay? But that was kind of the message. Maida went on to finish the course and become a missionary. She went out to her own tribal people and is reaching them and preaching to them and seeing fruit in her own life. And this is one of the training courses that she came back to help staff. Isn't that amazing? So this is our passion, is getting alongside young people and raising them up. Next slide, please. So this is a typical classroom where we teach the ways of God. Next slide. And there's also a significant Chinese population, not only in Malaysia, but the Chinese are dispersed throughout Asia, as they have a gift in the area of commerce. Wherever they go, they start Chinese restaurants, right? I bet you have one in Turtle Lake, no? No, okay. Well, close by, I'm sure. But anyway, wonderful people. I could go off on the Communist Chinese Party, which I'm not going to do, but they're not so wonderful in what they're doing to the Chinese Christians in China these days. But these are young Chinese believers who have a heart for missions, and we were teaching them, and this is a photo. However, what happened this year, in the middle of the year, is a virus showed up. Did it show up here? Yeah, I think so. So what happened is we were traveling when the virus showed up. Malaysia closed their borders, and they're still not open. We said, well, give it a month. We'll go back to Malaysia. Well, didn't happen. So after 3 months, we start to say, Lord, what are you saying? And he said, Tim, go home to Kona. That was a word that came into my mind. Now you say, home to Kona? What does that mean? Well, when we were 20, I was 20 then, we were 21, actually. We did a training course in Kona, which launched us into our missionary work. Then 20-some years later, as we were getting ready to go to Asia, the Lord said, go back to Kona, and then we'll open up the doors into Asia. So Kona is the largest youth information training center in the world. So when Savannah goes, she will have many other young people there that will be studying the same courses that she will be studying and learning the ways of God. So we went back to Kona this year, and we arrived. We found out there's a ministry called YWAM Ships, which uses medical vessels and ships to bring medical care and the gospel to people. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. And so we've been asked, it's a little bit fuzzy there, but we have 27 vessels around the world working on rivers in the Amazon, even one up in Siberia, and in remote islands. You know, there are multitudes of people groups living in isolated remote locations that are not inaccessible to airplanes and do not have bridges to them. So you can only reach them by going on a boat or a ship. Following me? And so that's why we are using these vessels to bring, first of all, the medical care, because it's the felt need of the people. You know, if you come to somebody and they have a need and you try to give them something else, they're just going to be maybe not that interested because they say, you know what? I've got this wound that's infected, and if I don't get some healing pretty quick, I'm going to die. Right? Or I've got these cataracts that have blinded me, and I've lost my job for 17 years, and if I can't see again, I don't have much hope. All right? Follow me, right? And so what we do with our vessels is we go and meet the felt need of the people, predominantly medical, also clean water. And then, alongside with that, the people see that we really love them. We're concerned about their need that they have. And then we also introduce them. We say, you know what? You have another need. It's spiritual. And that's when we share the gospel. So it's a wonderful ministry, and we spent 9 years in the 90s working with Mercy Ships. So God has prepared us for this new assignment now where we're working with YWAM ships, helping to train their missionaries there in Kona. And we also, I've been asked to give spiritual oversight to our leaders on board these vessels in different parts of the world. Because they need, they're in remote locations, they need pastoral care. So I'm going to be connected with them and then visiting them on the field. So we continue our heart and passion of mentoring and training young missionaries. But instead of being living in Asia, we're going to be living at our center in Kona and training them for YWAM ships. Amen? Yeah. Are you excited?
Yes.
Thank you. We're very excited. And Joanne will be, Joanne has taken counseling courses, and she's serving there at the center, working with young people who come with issues that they've had a hard time overcoming and giving counseling and prayer ministry to them. So that's Joanne's passion. So it's very exciting. And we're really grateful to God. Now I'm going to show you a quick 3-minute video which will introduce the ministry of YWAM ships.
My family and thousands of others live on beautiful islands all across the Pacific Ocean. We are part of a very diverse region with many different languages, communities, and cultures. However, we all live with one challenge. We are isolated.
You know, the hospitality and welcome of the islands are legendary. You may have seen tourist pictures of these beautiful islands, and many places we go are just like that. However, we have learned we don't have to be there very long, and you see the devastating effects of isolation that these people live with. They have no way to obtain health care, dental care, vaccinations. So in that kind of situation, something as simple as a fever, a wound, an infection that sets in can become a life-threatening situation.
During one of our recent trips to Papua New Guinea, we met a man named Abraham. He lived on an isolated island just north of Madang. He hadn't seen in over 17 years. And because of that, he'd lost his livelihood, he lost hope. His entire village couldn't wait for the YWAM ship to come in.
Bless God, hallelujah.
After a simple 30-minute operation, sight returned to his eyes. In addition to Abraham, 10 others that day had their eyesight restored.
These ships are creating a way to change thousands of people's lives, and hope is becoming a reality. In the last 3 years, we have seen over 900 students and volunteers provide more than 150,000 services in 284 villages. We have been invited by many government officials to bring services to their coastlines. It is incredible to see these doors open in partnership with the government.
These germs make you sick. And that's what we're going to teach you so you know why you're washing your hands.
On the Big Island of Hawaii, we are positioned in the heart of the Pacific Ocean. From here, we provide a platform for people to be trained, equipped, and engaged in the nations. We know that there are thousands of people in similar situations like Abraham. For people living on these isolated islands, ships aren't just a good idea, they are the only option.
I can still remember the first time I saw a blind person see again. And in that moment, it was so much more than their sight being repaired. It was a restoration of their hope. And that's why it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
This is the pure gospel. Jesus met people where they were at when he walked this earth centuries ago. He's still doing it today.
I want to bring healthcare.
I want to bring encouragement.
I want to bring hope.
I want to bring restoration.
Transformation.
Joy.
Education.
Compassion.
Comfort.
Change.
Love.
Truth.
Mercy.
Hope.
Amen. Thank you. So you see, we have large ships. Now those large ships sometimes can't pull right into shore. So then you see the smaller boats ferrying our staff into the land, to the villages. And then some of the people, the surgeries of the cataract removal, that's on one of our, that's on board the ship. So then we ferry out some of those patients there for the actual procedures and care. So these, we have very different size vessels depending on what and where we're reaching people. On the Amazon River, there are smaller vessels. And they're working in the remote villages along the river. We have three vessels working along the Amazon River. So this particular ministry is such a life-changing ministry because it's touching them physically, but then also we're showing the Jesus film, we're preaching the gospel, we're seeing lives transform. So that's an update on our ministry, and thank you again for your prayers and support. All right, let's go on to the message I want to share with you today. Is some of the values I've learned in these years of missionary service. These values are also a part of our mission, as God has been teaching us over the years. But the first one I want to talk about, the next slide, is on simply the foundation where it all begins, and that is God. In the beginning, God. And so as we begin in life, we begin with knowing who he is. And it wasn't until I went to my Youth with a Mission training course in Kona many years ago, 43 or 44, and we're only 46, are we now, Joanne? Yeah. Yeah, that's getting old, isn't it? Anyway, so I went to this training school, and I had 30 hours teaching on God. We looked at all the different character qualities of God himself. We studied the fact that God is personal. He has a mind, a will, an emotion. He reasons. He has a will. He makes decisions. He has emotions. He feels. I learned that God was a brokenhearted God who suffered sorrow when people reject him. I learned that we can bring joy to his heart through our responses of worship and love. As it says in the scriptures, there's great rejoicing in heaven whenever, what? A sinner repents. So I was getting introduced to this personal yet infinite God. This Bible of the scriptures is the only God of all the religions who's personal yet infinite. It's the God of the Bible. It's our God. He has no beginning, no end. That's his nature. And he is all-knowing. And yet, he's all-powerful. Yet, he is personal where he knows each hair on our head. So as we learned and studied the character and nature of God, I began to see that he was committed to me because he was love, and he is love. I had a false concept of God at that time in my life. I believed he was something of a taskmaster who was primarily interested in my work. And that once he was done using me, then he would kind of set me aside. Isn't that a terrible thought about God's character? I'm sure you've never had any thoughts like that. But you know, because knowing God is the foundation of our lives and of a life that grows strong in the Lord, I believe Satan's number one goal is to deceive people about who he is. His number one goal is to make us believe that he is an angry God, that he is not a personal God, that he will let you down, that he, whatever the lie might be. And when crisis comes in our life, usually our response will be according to what our understanding is of who he is. And when crises come, we will either take our fist and say, yeah, I knew you were like that. You'd let me down at some point, right? But if we know that he is for us, that he is always for us, that he is love, and that nothing can separate us, we will open our hands and say, Father, I don't understand this, but I know who you are. I trust you. I love you. Amen? You know, we arrived back in Kona in 2002, as I told you earlier. God said, go back to Kona, and I will open the ways to Asia. The night we got off the plane, that night I got a fever. It became worse and worse, and then aches and all over my body. And my muscles and my calves began to twitch and fasciculate. And as I went to the doctors, they says, you know what? We think there's two things going on. One, you have, possibly with these muscle things, you may have ALS, a terminal disease. The other thing they said to me is we think you have Lyme's disease. Now, we can give you some medicine for the Lyme's, but the ALS, just go home. And as you, if your muscles start to deteriorate, then we know, and then you'll die. I said, well, thank you. And so I shared the news with Joanne. We had just arrived there. Our call was for Asia. We're laying in bed, and I'm every day I'm getting up. I'm doing exercises with my lung. I guess my muscles are still strong enough. And but that was so. But they gave me 30 days of IV antibiotic to knock out the Lyme's. I mean, that junk not only knocked out the Lyme's, it knocked me out. I mean, I was wiped out for months. And so I'm laying in bed, not knowing if I'm going to die, no strength. And I'm saying, God, did I sin? And God said, no, you didn't sin. Because we had people, friends, who love God, write to us and say, you know what? You went to Hawaii on your own decision. And this is what's happened to you. It's kind of like Job. Was that Job's counselor? Anyway. And I says, Lord, did we disobey you? No, you didn't disobey me. You're in my will. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. I don't understand this situation, but I know who you are, right? You're good. Amen? And so if we know who he is, we will not be moved. We will say, I know you are good. You are faithful. You are loving. You are for me. You are forgiving. You are merciful. You are patient. You are slow to anger, and I'm sure grateful for that. You see, as we study the different character qualities of God, we get to know who he is. This is so important for us to have this foundation in our life because storms will come. Because this foundation was laid in my life at an early age, I was able to obey him when he asked me to do radical things. He said, go to Africa on a one-way ticket with zero monthly support. Is that radical? Yeah, that's radical. And I didn't tell my father-in-law I was taking her daughter either. But we could say yes because we knew his voice, it was his direction, and we knew his character. Now, let me just give you some. There was a team waiting for us there who had some money and a house. Okay, so it's not that radical. But we had, so we had food when we arrived, but we were on a one-way ticket and we didn't have any money to take care of our personal needs. So I got to be truthful on that too. But there was other things God asked me. He tested me right away. He said, Tim, I want you to give up to me the right to ever go back to your homeland the rest of your life. So I was in Kona, Hawaii, when God asked me that. I don't know if Savannah's parents are here today, but she may ask, God may ask her to never come home. I don't know. Anyway, Sorry, I shouldn't say but that's what God said to me. I was out in Kona, Hawaii in my training course. And it was Christmas time, and my school leader says, let's give birthday gifts to Jesus. Ask him what he wants from you. I said, Lord, what do you want? He says, give to me the right to ever go home again. Now, I had just had transformation, revelation of who God is in my life. And I knew he was good. I knew he was for me. So that's what I said back to God. I says, Lord, I know you are good and you would never ask anything of me that wasn't out of your love, meaning it wouldn't be for my best. Are you following me? Do you believe that? Oh, good. I like that voice. Strong. And yes, it's true. And that's exactly what I said to him, because that was a revelation of truth I received during my training. That God would never ask anything of me that was not for my best and for good, because he's a God of love. So I said, yes, I give that to you. Now, did I ever come back? I'm here, aren't I? This is my home. This is our home, Shalake and Spooner, which is just, we're neighbors, right? And I'm going to take the time, but what happened? Well, maybe I better. Okay, so quickly. So some months later, my best friend calls me from Minneapolis. Says, Tim, I'm getting married. Come back to be my wedding. I says, I'm sorry, Joe. I'd love to. I can't. I didn't go into details. I hung up the phone. I hear the Holy Spirit say to me, you didn't ask me. I said, what do you mean I didn't ask you? You already told me. Don't go back. He said, well, you didn't ask me. I said, what? Okay, I ask you. Lord, do you want me to go back? He said, Amos 3:3, can three walk together except they believe, agree. I said, I don't understand that. I opened up my devotions for the day. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree. Okay, I think you're trying to say something. I says, Lord, if you want me to go back, I don't have any money. I gave it all away. I'm a missionary student. I said, Lord, if you're selling me to go back, I want all my money for a ticket today. Amen. Okay. So the end of the day came. And somebody walked into my room with a letter. Says, Tim, this is for you. And I opened it up. All the money I needed to buy a ticket back to Minneapolis. Now, that envelope had been in the mail for days because it came from a church in Minneapolis. I prayed that day, all the money. That letter arrived that day. Amen? So I says, Lord, why? He says, Tim, I was testing your heart. He said, you passed. I said, well, thank you, Lord. You're good. So, God will do things. He will, whatever he asks of us is good. Okay, I need to keep watching the clock. What time did you say again?
It doesn't matter in the second service.
He didn't say that. Huh? 20 more. Thank you. Anyway, okay. So it begins with knowing God. Amen? Because if we have a correct understanding of who he is, then we will walk and we will be secure, right? Because if we know who he is, we will know who we are, right? Because we'll know how he sees us. Our self-esteem will be strong. Our sense of identity will be correct. Our security will be there. All of that, right? And that results in what? Life, joy, purpose, right? Are you following me? And so, know God. Okay, next slide, please. And so then we go on to make him known. And again, that's just a natural outflow from our lives that happens when we have been introduced and when we have come into a greater understanding of who he is in our lives. So we'll communicate to others through our attitudes and words and actions what we know about him. And if we believe God is harsh and angry, or if we believe he's a forgiving, compassionate father, okay? So God is making God known is just a simple outflow of our lives to those around us. And that's what God has called us to be, right? He's called us to be light, shining lights on a hill. Next slide, please. And so one of the stories or parables that Jesus told, which underlines and gives such understanding about the character of God and who God is this parable of the forgiving father or the prodigal son, as found in Luke 15. And I'm just going to quickly summarize that for you. In this story, as you probably are familiar, you know, the father had two sons, and he had quite an estate. He had a bit of money. One of the youngest son went to the father and says, I want my inheritance early. I want to go explore the world. The father gave it to him. He went off. And what did he do? The Bible says he engaged in wild living. There's no details to wild living. But we can imagine, right? It was wild living. He was being foolish. He wasn't making good choices with his money. He was just living for self and foolishness. And he ended up doing what? Having to take a job on a pig farm, feeding the pigs in the midst of a famine. He was starving to death. And all of a sudden, the scripture says he came to his senses. He says, what am I doing? What have I been doing? My father, he is feeding his servants with good food. And I have been foolish and I have sinned against heaven and against my father. And he decided to go home and confess and to repent. And to ask the Father, I don't deserve to be your son any longer. Could I just simply be a servant and work for you? And so with a humble heart and a repentant heart, he went back to his home. Now the scripture says the Father saw him while he was still afar off. It makes me wonder, was the Father, did he have a habit in the evening before retiring to go at the edge of his property and look down the road and thinking, well, maybe tonight, maybe today will be the day my son will come home. It says he saw him from afar off, greeted him with a hug and a kiss and a celebration. But even though the son said, I don't deserve, I've sinned against heaven and you, I don't deserve to be your son, the father says, you are my son and you will always be my son. And they celebrated because that son who was lost had been found. And so this gives us such a deep understanding of how the Father forgives and longs to forgive and delights to forgive and welcome us. You know, quite natural for humans when we know we have sinned or disobeyed or done something we shouldn't, we try and hide it, right? Are you like that at all? Thank you for the honesty. I am too. And I remember when I was a little boy, my parents had a raspberry patch. And, we were out there picking raspberries. I was maybe this high. And you know what? I was supposed to put the raspberries in my bucket. But you know what I did with most of them? They went in my mouth. And my mom saw me and says, Tim, in the bucket, please. And I said, well, I've got an idea. I'm going to take those raspberries and put them in my pants pocket. Then I can hide them. You know what happens when you take really ripe raspberries and put them in your pants pocket? Yeah. So pretty soon my pants are all red. I go, oh, no. Oh, no. So I run around the house and I hide. Pretty soon my mom comes around and she sees me. And she was merciful. So I think she smiled. But we go and try and hide when we do something wrong. But, you know, the Heavenly Father is merciful. He says, come to me. I long to forgive you. Just as my mother was merciful, even though I didn't repent for it, I went and hid. She still was merciful upon me. Now, I told in the earlier service, I used to try and teach my kids when they were young that wrong choices have consequences, right? And so, you know, we had varying degrees of consequences for our kids depending what the wrong choice was. So our little boy, Stephen, I don't know, he was maybe 3 years old or 4 years old. I remember after he'd done something wrong, he knew consequences were coming. So he comes to me and says, Daddy, is there going to be consequences? But, you know, we're fathers, we're mothers. It's easy for us to be merciful. How much greater our Heavenly Father is merciful. So why was the Father, that's the question on the back of this, right? Why was the Father so joyful when the Son returned? Well, because he loves the Son, and he was delighted to have him back home. And he was happy that he had chosen to come home. Ezekiel 33 says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they, what? Turn from their ways and live. This is the heart of God. He takes no delight in judgment or giving out consequences. But he will do it. And I think he does it out of love. Primarily he does it out of love because he's trying to protect the innocent that the wicked ultimately harm. And so God is a God of love. He's also a God who is just. That's another part of his character. He's just. But his mercy overcomes his justice as we come in the cross, right? Justice and mercy are met in the cross, and mercy overcomes as Christ pays and fulfills the consequences of our sin. Amen? He's good. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And, okay, should we say 5 minutes? Okay, good, thank you. I'm sorry, I lose track of time. That's a good clock, but it's kind of faint. That's my excuse. I can't really see those hands. No, sorry. So evangelism is simply the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is restoring relationship. And there's the passage in 2 Corinthians 5. I love this passage, that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation. And as it says in verse 20, we beg you, we appeal to you, and we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, this is this Heavenly Father God who has made all of the, who has made it all available for us by not counting our sins against us, and has opened the way for each one of us to be reconciled, to be restored in relationship with Him. He created us to know Him and to be with Him and to enjoy Him. Next slide, please. And so we've learned, and I've learned, to champion young people. And this is what we do in YWAM. I'm excited to see Savannah going, because she's going to receive excellent teaching there and be given opportunity to experience people who believe in her, just like all of you do in this church here. And so we champion young people, and we say, as Paul said to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and love and conduct, in purity and faith, show yourself an example. And so God has given gifts and abilities and callings to every one of our lives. And it doesn't start when we reach some type of a later, a certain age, right? It begins in our lives right from the beginning, as we discover who we are and as we begin to know God, and He begins to make known to us His purposes for our life. And so as Savannah is making this step out in pursuing God's purposes for her life, it's very exciting. The last point here is that youth are not the church, not only the church of the future, but they are the church of today. And so we encourage young people to step into their calling and their giftings at a young age, at any age, and we make opportunities for that. The next slide, please. And then we function in teams, as we believe with many counselors, plans succeed. We believe that in teams, there is strength as we combine different personalities and gifts and experience and generations, working together, making decisions together, pursuing a vision together and missions. You know, as we make decisions together, for instance, and we listen and to the voices of each team member, that allows for ownership amongst the team members, because they were a part of making that decision and making the plans that God was giving to that team. And therefore, when you feel like you own something, you have greater commitment to it, right? And so working in teams is what God has called us to do, because in that there's safety, there is strength, and there is also greater commitment and ownership. And I might add, joy. Because with a relationship one with another, we get the joy of discovering everybody's and each other's personality and uniqueness, because everyone's unique and everyone's wonderful. Isn't that right? Do you know that? This church is made up of all of you, these unique people with personalities that are different, and gifts and abilities and ways you express. And it's all good, because God doesn't make anything that's not good, right? So you can look at each other and say, you're good. I'm glad I'm part of, you're part of, we're together, right? You want to say that? You're good. I'm glad we're good. Okay. Anyway, that's what I like to do in my classes. Anyway. Okay. So, okay, well, final slide here. We're going to end up here. We believe that you should do before you start to teach. I like this verse in Acts 1. It says, "The first account I composed," this is Luke writing, Theophilus, "about all that Jesus began to do and then teach." You see, when we, with firsthand experience, our words have authority because we're talking about something that we've done. And we have been willing to do it before we start asking and teaching other people how to do it. Are you following me? And so character is more important than our expertise or our abilities. Do you believe that? Yeah, because the character is the foundation. Just as knowing God's character is a foundation, our character is our foundation as we go forward. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me be free this morning and share my heart with you on these things. And I want to conclude by simply saying, you are blessed. We are blessed because we know Him and that we are part of this family of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are good. We love you today. Thank you that you've called us out of darkness and brought us into your arms, that we have been reconciled with you. And Lord, you are for us. And when we stumble, you are there to pick us up and to say, son, daughter, I forgive you. I'm with you. Let's continue on. And I thank you, Lord, that you champion all of us because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.